You look in the Gospel of Matthew, 9 times the word hell comes up. Now, that's the English rendering of that, but it could have been the very same thing, Gehenna. If you would like to study that out in the Greek, I'd be happy for you to do that also. But there are other names, names that we associate with the term hell, whether it's the lake of fire, whether it's everlasting fire, whether it's the eternal punishment, that's another term for it, the valley of Hinnom, Gehates, all, or just really Hades or Sheol or the pit. There's so many things that are mentioned there that I have to say that it is true, and it's something that we don't talk about. It's something, I don't want to talk about that. That's not very uplifting. I wonder if we're more concerned about whether we're uplifted or whether we care that there are people dying around us that are going to hell. It's real. I shouldn't have to convince anybody of that. But for some reason, I feel there are times that we need to speak truths just to remind us of the validity of that. The world does not believe in it. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe in any eternal punishment. They don't believe that anybody's going there. Because how could a God that loves you so much do something like that? Well, can I say this? If Jesus said it and preached on it and talked about it all the time, and you can't follow him, you can't believe him, then who am I? I'm a nobody. I'm just somebody re-echoing the very things that he said. I wrote out some few things for us this morning that came out of the Word of God, New Testament and Old Testament. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as he some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Do you hear that? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I wonder what he talked about when he said perish. He had to be speaking of hell. He had to be speaking of eternal damnation. In Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, 11th verse, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? To his own children, to his promised ones. Why will ye die and be turned away into eternal punishment? In the book of the Revelation, the 22nd chapter, at the very end of the last that we know of the Word of God, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. That is saying to me, don't go the other place. Come. You're all invited. It's for each one of us to come and take advantage. In Luke's Gospel, in the 16th chapter, Jesus says, then said he, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the rich man and Lazarus. He's talking about the fact that the rich man is saying, send Lazarus to my father's house. And why is that? For I have 5 brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. It wasn't just a story, people. It was a reality that Jesus shared with everyone. And he wanted us to make note of that. You see, all of these things are the things that Jesus talked about. They're the things that were real. They were things that you and I need to pay attention to. Why do we want to pay attention to it? Because it is a persistent call of God. It's what God does all the time. He has a longing heart that no one should perish. No one should go to hell. Not one soul should ever pass through this world and die and go to eternal punishment. Nobody. He longs that every day. I mean, go back to Adam and Eve. Go back to the beginning. From that day that they sinned in the garden to the very time that Jesus died on the cross, all the way to the end of this book that I just read to you out of the 22nd chapter of Revelation. This is a call to every one of us. It is a call that is clear. It's sounded upon what God's going to do. And make no mistake about it, God makes his first move. God has always done that. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 11. He says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. What a description. It is a description of everyday people. It's a description of those that could not sing the song that we just sang. Sinners redeemed. They could only sing the part that of sinners, but without the redemption that God has offered. You see, God doesn't want anybody in hell. That's not his choice. He never has been. So if anybody goes to hell, if anybody here would go to hell, you had to do it over the love of God. You had to. You had to go with that. You had to do it over the Word of God. You have to do it over the pleadings of God. You have to do it over the pleadings of your friends, pleadings of your pastor, pleadings of your mom and dad. You have to go to a place that nobody wants to go to through the preaching of the church. Cornerstone, the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole. These are the very things that they lay out before, or they should lay out before us. And we should be noted of those things so that we're reminded there are those that are dying every day all around us. But do they know about Jesus? Well, have we told them? Or do we really care? There's going to be a day. There's going to be a day that all this takes place. I think God has done everything that's possible. He said that he had. He laid it out just like that. He does not want anyone to go to hell. But it's true. That choice is yours. The choice was mine. But if you don't repent, just like he talked about right there in that scripture, if you don't heed the call, if you don't listen to the word, you've left him with what? You've left him with nothing. You've left him with the only thing that will happen to any person. They will go to the place that they want to go to. And he'll send you there with your sins. And you will suffer for eternity. A place of torment, just like the rich man talked about. In John chapter 3, what did he say? For God so loved the world. Everybody. What did he want for the world? He wanted eternal life for the world. He wanted restoration for the world. He wanted all of us to come to him like that. But the unsaved, what do they say to me today? Well, nobody cares about me. Nobody cares for my soul. Is that true? You say, well, I care. Have you done anything about it? Have you spoken to someone about it? Have you laid out before the, well, you know, that's kind of encroaching. Is hell worth encroaching on? I mean, think about it. Is it worth encroaching for eternity? You realize that more people care about, nobody wants to go. We always want to talk about heaven. We're quick to jump on the heaven part. And we know that doesn't come but by salvation. It doesn't come but through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet we are afraid to speak about hell. We're afraid that we might offend someone. There's a few people that care today. The first one is that it's God. God the Father cares. God the Father cares. He said he wasn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you realize that 1,900 times in the Word of God that it speaks to the very thing it's calling the lost? 1,900 times in this Word, he is calling the lost to repentance. We read out of Ezekiel 33, he says, turn ye, turn from your wicked ways. Why? Why will you die? Why are you going to die and perish if you do not come to me? Romans chapter 10, verse 21, Paul makes it very clear. All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto the disobedient and the gainsaying people. Isaiah 55, 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Why would he say those things to us? Because let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This is what God's saying. This is what God desires for every one of us. He longs for any person that you know or that I know, that they would not perish, but they would all come to repentance. You see, God cares. Yes, he does. He cares so much that the redeemed of the Lord should say so. They should re-echo the very things that God says. You and I will never know how much he cares until we get there. When we get to heaven, we'll realize, when we're at home with him, we're going to realize the heart of God and how he yearned for and pleaded and called and went to giving even his son for the salvation of every one of us and for those people that we know. But not only does God care, the Holy Spirit cares. Isn't that wonderful? The one that abides with us every day, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. He that is athirst, come. Come to the waters. Come get part of this thing. Jesus is saying to John in that 22nd chapter of the book of the Revelation, he's making it very clear. John, I want you to say it one more time. Before you close the book, before you let it all go, make one more call. And he made it. He said, come. Please come. Don't let the time pass. Don't let any of this go by, because we're talking about eternity. We're talking about where you spend eternity. This is in mercy and in grace that the Holy Spirit says it. This is in infinite wisdom that it comes to each one of us. This is God in through the Holy Spirit in this world saying to us, come. Just come to me. That's the Spirit's primary purpose, to say, look, you're lost. You're going to hell. You're on that path. I'm here to tell you right now, I'm calling you sinners, come to repentance. Come and make this right. In order for that, the Holy Spirit to do that, he's got to have a voice. Who's the voice that he uses? Well, he works on the inside, but who's on the outside? You, me. We're on the outside speaking the word. He's on the inside applying the word. And he's powerful to do every bit of that. Nobody comes to the Father but by me, which Jesus said. Well, no one comes unless they hear it, unless they see it. And if we don't say it, he says the rocks will cry out. And we've seen that take place over and over again. Name me a tragedy that has not happened in the world. What do? They cry out to God. They may not know God. They've never been saved. They don't know anything about it. But I promise you this, they'll cry out to God. A tragic accident on the highway. Anything that's terrible, what are they going to do? They're going to cry out to God. Have mercy on me. He would have had mercy on you a long time ago. And if no one said it to you, I promise when you had a wreck, I promise when your life's in danger, you'll cry out. You'll cry out to the one that cares. Jesus in chapter 6 of John, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. That's the Spirit. That's the Spirit that lives within us. And as children of God, what an awesome thing it was to hear that Spirit talk to each one of us personally. Wasn't that great? I mean, just think about what he has done for us. And think about the awesome responsibility now he has given to each one of us. Yes, he's inside. We're outside. These are the things that we are to do. Not that anybody should perish. I don't care if you don't like that person. It doesn't make any difference. Do you want to see that person die and go to hell? I mean, how bad could you hate that person? Could you curse that person to hell because you will not give him the very gift that God has given to you? I say, no, there's no way that we should be that way. We should never, ever hate someone that much. And we should do just what the Spirit of God does. He takes every means, by every which way you can do it, to reach those people and to stop them in the downward spiral that they're heading on right now. That's what he does all the time. You see, the Holy Spirit cares, and he's willing to do it. God's Son cares. I think we know that. He cared so much to crawl on a cross. He cared so much for each. What did he say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are we not heavy laden at times? And Jesus makes the call to each one of us, come. You remember when he sat on the curb of Jacob's well? Remember when the woman comes to him, that broken, filthy, couldn't even come with every other woman because her so defiled in the lifestyle that she was, so degraded. And here's the Lord sitting there. He's hungry. He's weary. He's all of those things that a human body would have. But when that woman comes, all of a sudden, he comes alive again. All of a sudden, he forgets about being hungry. He forgets about being thirsty. He forgets about all those things. Why? Well, because he is giving to her eternal life. He's offering a water that will quench her forever. And then the disciples come back, and they got something to eat. They brought some food out to him at the thing. And what does he say to them? I'm not hungry. Well, you have to be hungry. We're all hungry. You were hungry 30 minutes ago. Why are you not hungry now? I have meat that you don't know about. I got something you don't know about. You see, physical hunger left him. The thirst left him. The strength that he did not have, he had now. Why? Because he feasted upon the very thought that I could direct this soul to heaven. Do we understand that really? Do we really get that? The earnestness, the love, the compassion that Jesus gave right there. The intensity that he was willing to go to. He didn't need food. He needed to know that she would be saved, that her life would be changed. That's what he needed. He's teaching. It's early morning outside the temple. And the Pharisees drag this sordid person, this woman, before him. And for all the reason that they did this, just to shame her even more, to expose everything about her. What they would do it for? Well, it wasn't even so much for her. It was to entrap him, to see what he'd have to say. And he drew upon the ground. Remember that? And you remember that they left from the oldest unto the least because they knew they could not cast the first stone. What did he say to the woman? He said, woman, where are your accusers? No man accuses you? Neither do I. But what did he tell her? I don't condemn you, but this is what you're to do. I want you to go and sin no more. This is what I'm commanding you to do. Men wanted to stone her. Jesus wanted to save her. That's what Jesus wants for every one of our lives. Could you only begin to realize what would happen today if we followed after the law that he was talking about? They grabbed one woman in adultery. They grabbed one woman doing this. We would have literally millions stand before him today. And everybody pick up a stone. Because that is the habit of our world today. Because we really do not follow what this Bible says. It's just true. It is exactly what it says right here. He left heaven's glory for each one of us. He left heaven's glory. He went all the way to Calvary. He shed his blood on Calvary, the very last drop of that blood. He dipped his soul into hell as an offering for sin. That's what he did right there. That you and I would simply come to him. That's what he did. Did Jesus care? Yeah. Yeah, he cared. He cared more than anyone. It breaks his heart to think that we don't care. It breaks his heart that we do not do what he did for a thief on the cross when he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You see, even at that place, we have to realize what God is doing. So that if we go to hell, you did it over the greatest love that anyone could have, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. That's how we would go right there. You'll go knowing, I will not be responsible. You hear me? I'm not going to be responsible because I'm going to say it. And where there's light, you either walk in the light, you don't walk in the light. But no one can say that this pulpit has not preached hell. No one can say that we have not shared the gospel. Because I know every person that stood in this pulpit at one time or another has done this very same thing. That we have shared this. In spite, though, of the greatest efforts that God, that Jesus could do, there'll be those that'll go to hell. And that'll happen. Do you realize that the lost that are in hell care today about souls? They do. They care. Look at the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man cared, did he not? He said, I got five brothers up there. Lord, please send Lazarus. Let him go and tell him if one would come from the dead, they would believe. He said, they got Moses. They got the prophets. Jesus already came from the dead. Do we believe? Is this what is going to happen? What has happened to us today? one did come from the dead. Do we believe? The world doesn't believe. They don't think that. You see, this is the plea. This is the plea of someone that's in hell at this time. He's pleading with them. Whatever you do, I'm lost. I'm in hell. This is, preacher, stop them. Some way, somehow, make it happen. Don't let anybody else come here. I believe that every soul that's in hell today would be crying out for salvation. Don't let anybody else come here. But they're not the only ones. The saved, those that are in glory today, care. They care about all of us that are left behind. In Luke's gospel in the 15th chapter, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now I want you to get that one right, okay? Sometimes scripture is misquoted. And sometimes we sing songs and they're probably not as biblical as we think they might be. He did not say that the angels were rejoicing. He said that those that were in the presence of angels were rejoicing. Angels have no clue. They've never been lost. It's the redeemed of the Lord that are saying it today. Those that are in glory that took the sacrifice that Jesus gave their lives to him, they're the ones that are standing there. They're the great cloud of witnesses that the Apostle Paul talks about. They're the ones. I know what happens today. You got a Baptist church on one corner and they're saying, will there be any stars in my crown? They're singing it for all it's worth. The Methodists right across the street, what are they singing? No, not one. Will there be? I hope there'll be. I hope there'll be those stars that we say. You see, the redeemed are the ones that are singing with joy. The angels are just standing back and saying, wow, look at these. They really, really care. How do you know they're rejoicing? Because the Word of God says they're rejoicing. How do I know? Because there's such a cloud of witness that are surrounding. Picture the Roman Colosseum. Have it filled. Have it filled with people. But not just filled in the Colosseum, but all around the heavens, all around are the presence of those that have gone before. What are they doing? They're cheering us on. We're in a race. I guess it would be something like a relay. The first runner takes off. He's running as hard as he can, but he's getting behind. He has to hand a baton to the second and the third one. The second one takes up and he's catching up, but he's not quite there. And the third one gets the baton and he goes on. But he cannot get there. It's up to the fourth one to do what? What did he say? Some plant the word, some water. And then the privilege is the harvest. And here comes the anchor. And he's making headway. And he runs harder than any. Why? Because he wants to win. Have we run the race that God has set before us? Are we doing everything that we know? I promise you this. I've witnessed it yesterday. Hate to say it because it was on the bad side of my Baylor Bears. Played a great first half against Kansas. They lost. Big. Way ahead. Second half, the crowd comes alive, and I mean it was a raucous crowd. And they came alive, and Kansas goes on to victory. You realize the crowd that's cheering for you today and me? You realize the crowd that's yelling louder? Why? They want our best. They want everything from us. The saints of every age are cheering us on. So you see, the redeemed of the Lord care. But there's one other person in this deal. The only one that wants you in hell, the devil, Satan, Lucifer. He's the only one that wants you in hell. Not the lost. They don't want you here. The lost that are already there, they don't want you here. They want you to get saved. They want you to get away from this thing. But there's one that's pulling everyone towards hell. There's one that's laying it out before you because he wants you there. He wants you to see the torment that everybody goes through. And the only reason you would go is because you listen to him or you listen to God. You listen to the offering that he has of the temporalness of this world. You listen to the things that he's offering. You're ignoring the calls and the pleas and the warnings that God is saying. and you go to the place that Satan has a better call, I guess. I guess his music is better. I don't know. You see, there's a battle, and it's being waged every day. And every moment of that day, someone is heeding to Satan more than they're heeding to God. And they're going to his place. You see, that's the greatest forces in the universe. What are they fighting over? Your soul? Mine? Can you imagine the competition for a soul and how much that really means? They're contending for each one of us. But it's only one. Lucifer. Only one. The devil. Only one. When I've already given to you so many that care. Are we the part that care? Do we care for them? Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And Jesus made it very, very clear. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. What do we have to do? Well, it's simple. We just have to care. We have to care enough to share Jesus Christ. You don't save them, people. You simply share what God has already done for you. Let's pray.